pray to God I lose your soul. Death to the life so golden gray. Those promises to get their way. We won't be on your roommates. The old kids live for you again.
JLO 1690 AM, there's some Madeir for you. A track called Feast off of Black Sludge. Before that, you heard Black and White, which is off the most recent EP that came out. I think they decided on EP, maybe release. Well, whatever it is, whatever was released on Friday. Violent Thoughts is the name of it. Black and White was the name of the track that you heard from it. And before that, you heard part one of the interview that Andrew did with Kyle. From Madeir. So, yeah. I mean, I don't really have too much to add here. It's your good pal Satan, of course, co-hosting for Metal March. Hosting for Metal March. I'm guest hosting. There we go. I got the terminology right. I'm really sorry. Sometimes, you know, it's English isn't my first language. In fact, none of your weird languages are my first language. And you know, I am but a simple demon. I make mistakes. To err is demon is the popular saying that we have in hell. I don't know if you guys have anything like that. I guess to be perfect is human probably is what you probably think of yourselves. It's pretty sad actually. But it doesn't matter. The point is, I make mistakes, and I apologize for them as any decent sentient creature should. I'm just saying. Also, I appreciate Andrew was telling me that he found Madeir on Blue Sky, and I was on Blue Sky, and I see that there is a organization. I'm sure it's not strictly on Blue Sky, but called Satan Not Hatin', and you know what? I support that fully. That's because you know I don't really usually hate. I'm just doing my job, you know? That's it. That's all I'm doing here. Speaking of doing their job, let's get back to Madeir, who, well, I mean, technically, I'm not getting paid too much, probably from putting things out for pay what you can on Bandcamp, but still, let's assume that it's a lucrative career like all of the arts. Is that true? You guys still care about the arts, right? I actually don't know. I haven't been checking on that. I've been just checking on how you're afraid of everything all the time. It's kind of adorable. and kind of predictable at the same time. I don't know what to make of it. It's very weird. Anyway, let's get into the second part of this interview that Andrew did with Madeer. This is a segment where you'll get to hear about kind of the writing process and the sound of the band, and also about the very cool album art that you find on some of their things, including the one for Violent Thoughts, which I really like myself. It's this is because it's kind of funny. It reminds me of this guy. Well, I don't want to blow up a spot or anything, but let's just call him Dave the Unspeakable. Yeah, that's good. That's good. No, that's too obvious. D the U. Yeah, Dave the U. Yeah. No. D the U. D the U. Yeah. That's good. It's good. Yeah. But yeah, he's one of my neighbors down here. And well, he's quite a character. Good dude if you're, you know, not being tortured, but good dude. So let's get into this interview, and we'll play some more Madeer for you. So keep it locked, CJLO 1690 AM, Grade A Explosives. I'm your guest host for the month of Metal March, Satan, and I hope you enjoy this interview. I really do.
Well, let's talk a bit about the music, because you have made quite a bit of it. Violent Thoughts is going to be the upcoming slash perhaps by the time this is airing, actually released album, EP, release. Let's go with release.
I call them EPs because anytime I release something, I think the longest one's been four songs. So I've just been saying EP because people kind of expect a lower runtime.
That makes sense, yeah. EP, that's where we're sitting here.
Yeah, that's what I've been calling. Release makes sense too.
Okay. Well, this is the fifth one that I see you have, at least on the Bandcamp, if I don't count Oblivion, which I'm not, because it looks like it was a B-side. Yeah. So now, obviously, you've written all of these songs. Have you found that your approach to writing songs from when you started is different from where it is right now?
Oh, definitely. Like, if you listen to... I kind of forgot this. Right before COVID, I was applying to like music management for college, and there are like examples of like songs you've worked on or made and stuff. So I was like, okay, I have to learn how to produce music. So I made one song I could take writing credits for, but my friend recorded it and did everything else. Forget the name of the song already. Steps. I just did vocals on that song, but they wanted three. So I was like, all right, I got to make some music fast that's out there somewhere. So originally when I was making music, I was getting really into Sleep and High on Fire. And that kind of made me want to pick up guitar again and like try to do things on my own. So yeah, originally it was going to be like a doom band. And then I don't know, I can't like sit still long enough. Like all my songs are like getting shorter and shorter, like the newest. So I'm not very good at making the long riffs that go on forever and just make you chill out. So it's kind of evolved from a doom project to a whole bunch of different aspects of metal that I like, and I just take bits and pieces and put them together.
Yeah, Violent Thoughts, I was listening to it again today, all 6 minutes which is it's stellar, it's very good, but I'm like, wow, this is way faster and way more, I didn't think this would exit my mouth, but way more aggressive even than Black Sludge was. So was that a conscious decision that you were making for this, or did that just kind of, that's what came out when you started writing things?
My thoughts when I went to Black Sludge was I really wanted to make my most aggressive music. And then after I made it, and it was still kind of that in between being released and stuff, and I just had more time and I was still playing guitars, just thinking of more riffs and stuff. And it all depends what I was listening to at the time. And at that time, I was like listening to like slam bands and grindcore bands. And I was like, I think I could be even more aggressive. I just want like the most aggressive album. And then I'll go back to the doomier side, the psychedelic stuff that like I started off with. But yeah, it just pointed lyrics, and I just kept feeling more aggressive about things. So I was just like, okay, let's try again. Let's try to get it all out now, and then maybe we'll calm down, or maybe I'll get that. It's just like how it goes. I don't know. So maybe next time I write stuff, I'll be angry again, and then it'll be even more aggressive. I don't know.
When you think about Madeer, is it kind of like a set idea of what you have in your head for what it should sound like? Or is it something that you're like, well, whatever it sounds like at the time is what it is, and everything that's there will be encompassed in the work?
I guess it's mostly it is what it is. I do try to at least have my own voice and stuff. I keep wanting to like stray away further from someone listening to my music and being like, oh, that sounds like this band and stuff. Like, I just trying. There's so much music out there. Like, every time I release something, someone's going to send me something. It's like, oh, were you inspired by this? And I was like, no, this sounds really awesome. But like, thanks for that music recommendation. But no, I've never heard this before. I was like trying to make something new, but I was just going to keep trying to make something new.
Fair enough. I mean, that's how most bands go about it. But
yeah.
But it's kind of the difference, right? When people are thinking about like the comfort food bands, AC/DC is not going to make like a grindcore record. That's not going to happen. So yeah, it's interesting to see like where bands will eventually get to in that kind of path, I guess, that they're taking.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me back up a little bit here. So you made these songs for Madeer. How did that go for your music management program? Were they like, yes, this is beautifully made music and accept you right away?
They did accept me. There was COVID, and they were like, it's going to be all online classes. And I was like, I don't want to pay like a full tuition for just online courses. So I just dropped out of it before investing any money, and then just I kind of figured out how to record. I think I get better every time I record stuff. So I was just like, I'm just going to keep learning and trying to do it on my own.
Yeah, that must be an interesting. What have you kind of learned? Like, what has been kind of the biggest step up between Black Sledge and this as far as your recording process goes? Where did you kind of put your improvement points into? I guess since we're talking about, some Dark Souls, that's a applicable thing to say.
Because there's such different sounds. It's hard to say. I don't know if this one is such an improvement, especially because they're so close together, but like I knew, okay, like for the doomier stuff and like the sludge metal stuff, I put like a ton of reverb on it. And like for this one, it made it way too messy. Like all my stuff is a little bit messy, very DUI, but this one has like less reverb because there's like so much more like pounding drums. The drums are a little bit louder on this one. It's just like little things here or there. It's just like to make it fit this genre a little bit better than the other. Like they're separated instead of just putting the exact same drums down, the exact same amount of reverb and same distortions and stuff. It was just like, okay, like I gotta acknowledge that this is a new sound, new album. I can't do the same thing.
Do you also do the artwork for all of the records?
No. For Bludgeoning Kings, I had my friend who's an artist do it for like, he did it really cheap for me. I was like looking at people on Fiverr. I was like, I'm thinking about giving this guy like $200. Could you do me something for $200? He's like, I'll do it for $150. It's fine. It's like, I usually charge by the hour, but that's okay. And I was like, all right. And then I was like, just really trying to save money. I should find the guy. I found this guy on TikTok. He does like ink monsters, like daily ink monsters. He was doing it for a really long time. And he was all about like free art and stuff. So he puts up all of his art free online. He's like, you can take it, use it, whatever you want. If you want to print it on shirts and sell it, you can go right ahead. So like I messaged him before and I was like, hey, like I don't have much money. All right, like cool. He's like, yeah, I stand by. It's free art. Go put it as your album cover. That's cool with me. And I was like, okay. So the last two have been by him.
Damn. All right. Well, I mean, very convenient of that.
Yeah. I was like, I've been like looking through those like public domain artworks and stuff. And I was like, I think I just need like something like not too much. And I like the darker colors. Like the last two albums, I think, are black and white covers.
Well, when this airs, well, I guess technically right now too, because we're recording in March, but we at CJLO do a thing called Metal March, where we kind of celebrate loud, aggressive things. And I know that as a fellow long hair with a beard, I've always interested to know, like, the funniest way possible to say this is, what hurt you that made you like this? So I usually during this month ask people the question of, do you remember what your first kind of foray into heavier music was? Mine is because I am chronically trying to blow up my own cred. Mine is actually, I can take a direct path from the Goo Goo Dolls name into all of the heavy things that I've gone to. Do you have something like that where you can point to it and be like, that thing right there is what led me down this dark, terrible path that I'm on, Andrew?
I guess like way back, even as a child, it'd probably be from my dad, who would just be like listening to like classic rock stations and listening to things like AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, like Ozzy Osbourne, hearing things like Crazy Train, and it's just like this is all right. And then like finding like Black Sabbath, and then it's like, oh, like this is cooler. I don't really like the really like rock and roll Aussie stuff, but then like Black Sabbath, and then like some of the Led Zeppelin was a little bit heavier, and it's like I liked like how heavy does it get. And then when I was probably like 12, that's when like Linkin Park was everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is different. This is bigger sound than hearing things like Korn. So it's like, I guess new metal would be like my big, oh, this is something I like, elements of this. Hard to say that I'm like a big new metal fan, but I still have a soft spot for like the Hybrid Theory and like early Korn albums. Then going from there, and the like Slipknot, and then just kept exploring from there, finding like In Flames and like Swedish death metal, and like, oh, it can be melodic or it can be like Entombed. Yeah, just exploring from there, I guess. So start from my dad, and then just hearing Linkin Park everywhere, then going from there and just kept exploring.
Yeah. It's kind of been amazing to me to watch, and I'm sure as someone who's lived through this, you might also remember this too. The brief period of time when it's like nu metal is good and we like it, and then the very quick nu metal is the worst thing that's ever happened to music. How dare anyone listen to it? And now we seem to have come back full circle to, oh well, you know, maybe the Deftones are good and a nu metal band at the same time.
No, it's Deftones are good, but they are not nu metal.
That's one of my arguments. I always am fascinated that basically people co-opted alt metal so the Deftones could get a pass and not be called nu metal. It's super interesting. And the fact that of all of the bands, I didn't actually think Deftones would be the one that would reconnect everyone in such a weird way. Like, I know people who have 15 or 16 year old kids, and those kids are way into the Deftones, like way more than anyone I knew growing up. And it's just fascinating to kind of look through that and see.
Yeah, actually, my girlfriend, I was like, you like nu metal? She's like, no, nu metal sucks. I'm like, you listen to System of a Down and Deftones all the time. She's like, that's nu metal? I was like, yeah.
Amazing.
I just heard her laugh in the other room.
Shattering people's thoughts on what they like about music.
It's like any genre can be good if you're good at it. I don't know.
I mean, apparently it can be good even if you're bad at it. See, Limp Bizkit. That's not fair. Wes Borland is good at guitar.
I like break stuff. I like some of the singles. A whole album is a lot.
Should I destroy my cred more and say that I actually own multiple Limp Bizkit records? No, I shouldn't say that. Oh no, well, I've done it already. Oh, yeah. Gosh dang it.
Hey, I own Saint Anger on CD somewhere.
I do too. Terrible taste in music, everyone. That's me. Let's get kind of philosophical here for a second, because I'm always interested when people are doing kind of a solo project, where they'd like it to go and where they think it will go. Because I find those are two different things. And especially with solo projects, it usually is never about the same thing as like a full band, who usually a full band hopes like, oh, we're going to go out and tour, we're going to make a ton of money off of this, all of that stuff. But I find that when people do solo projects, that usually isn't their kind of main thought behind it. That tends to even be a secondary or even third string thought.
Right now, no financials. I try to put everything out as free and as available as possible. If I start making physical copies or something, then I have to charge something for that. But like, even I bought like 25 t-shirts, and I sold 5 to friends, and then someone got into the trunk of my car and stole the other 20. So even then, I was trying to like sell them for cost. I think if I sold all of them, I would have made $50. So instead, I lost 100 or 150. I don't know. So definitely not after the money. And I think it's kind of silly to make like extreme metal and be like, I'm going to get paid. long-term, short-term goals. So I think I still have the mentality that this is just proving to other people and myself my talents and what I can do. I would like to play live eventually one day, maybe not as Madeir, but like someone out there, like if we collabed or something, or if I just started a new band, eventually would just like to do that again. I've tried just to like lower down members and stuff. I've tried to like play guitar or bass and like scream at the same time, and I just can't, like, so that would be like the hard part. I'd be like, all right, like it'd just be like the same thing all over again. It's like, okay, I call vocals, we need talented people to fill out the rest of it.
Well, I do see that there is from reading your Blue Sky, which in case people want to go, it's Madeir Noise .bluesky.social, and I think this is a goal that we can all at one point, like, which is I hope my music one day inspires people to literally cannibalize the rich. And I agree. I'm in for that.
Yeah, that was definitely like a thought going into Violent Thoughts. It was just like when I was first making it, I was actually going to try to do like their like slam gargly vocals and stuff. And I didn't like the sound of myself doing that. I was like, that's just, it's not me. It doesn't sound right. So I was just going to write like the edgiest lyrics ever. Like old school, or I guess any school, Cannibal Corpse. And then I was just like, just thinking about like the government, things like that. So it's like, it's not super smart lyrics. They're very just like pointed, but it's just like being angry about the situation that we get put in. And it's, a lot of it is just out of our control and stuff. And when you just see, like we've got billionaires that can just hang out with the president and do whatever they want. And it's like, do we need this guy?
I don't understand any of it. It's all
we don't have to get political. I try not to, but like that definitely slipped into my thoughts and feelings at the time making that. And I think it makes a lot of people angry right now.
Here's a sort of quasi-political question is a way to kind of put it, that I've been kind of delving into lately with bands. And that is, you know, our world is fraught with negativity, let's go with. Let's put the most positive spin possible on it and say our world is fraught with negativity. And I find that being someone that's into metal, like I'm already in a very negative mindset most of the time. But I'm wondering if being in that headspace, and I would say most people that are into metal are kind of in a similar way that they think, not exactly the most positive bunch of people as we sit here in our all black hoodies. Do you think that makes dealing with kind of the world and what it throws at you easier if you're someone that's into metal, or do you think that it makes it more difficult? And obviously there's all kinds of like differences of people in there, but like as an average, what do you think?
Well, it's expression. I think people who don't do something, if it not in the art forms or as some sort of activity just to get those feelings out there, it can really affect you in the long term. So I think like having this, like a lot of it is definitely anger, but like even complicated emotions just being like screamed out there of like any kind can be a healthy way to express it.
Well, and to kind of go along with that, I have heard people say that, well, I actually heard this around 10 years ago or so. Someone said to me, well, you know, punk and metal music tend to be the most interesting, most creative when people are in kind of dire straits or in a challenging kind of mindset. Think like Black Sabbath in a small, very economically depressed town, things like that. With that in mind, do you think the next, I don't know, 10 years we have as a species will make some great heavy music, or do you think that it'll still kind of be where it is right now? Have we kind of lost the ability to kind of put out that type of aggression towards things? Because I'm finding that like there used to be, like Woodstock is basically a protest festival when it was said and done, but that seems to be something that has been, I don't know, capitalized out of us, if there's a way to put it that way. But maybe that's just me. Does that seem, what are your thoughts on this, since I've been just talking this whole time?
Yeah, I think it's definitely inspiring a way that you could see it. But I know I was already feeling like, maybe it's because I've just been trying to like listen to more grand music, more music in general. I feel like music was like metal music was kind of lame-ish 2020-ish. I'm probably, someone's gonna say this epic record came out here, but like I feel like I'm constantly listening to like a lot of great new music like all the time now. And I don't know if that's just like social media, it's just people pushing out, like if one person finds it, they share it around and stuff. So I've already feel like heavy music has been on like the upturn. So more fuel to the fire, I guess.